So I do have an opening story for you today. And I did not preview this to Susan because there's no way she would have allowed me to tell this joke. But it pertains to what we're talking about in our environment and everything else. And what it is there were a group of young men, young strapping men, who were going on a kayaking expedition. And they got to the scene and they were getting ready. And one fellow out of the group takes a duffel bag and he dumps a bunch of hats out. And he starts to pick one up and he looks at it and he says, 6 5/8. And he takes another one and he says, 7 1/4. And then another one was 6 3/4. And his friends are like, what are you doing? We're supposed to be out there. Let's get going. And he says, hey, I'm erring on the side of caution. They said, what are you talking about? And he said, if I'm going to be doing any capsizing, it's going to be on dry land. You don't understand. Those groans feed me. So, several years ago, I attended a destination wedding in Stanley, Idaho. And it was one of those experiences that created lifelong memories for me. The wedding took place in a national park, and guests were showing up as much as a week in advance to take advantage of this wonderful setting. And people participated in a lot of activities, like hiking, bicycling, swimming, and kayaking. And so the day before the actual wedding, there was not a wedding rehearsal. There was a kayaking expedition on the river. And it was really an adventure because this is a river that had a very strong current with whitewater rapids, some of which were rated at levels 3.5 and 4. There were approximately 30 kayaks that were going to set out that day, and they were all two-seaters, tandem kayaks to accommodate two people at one time. And there were also a half a dozen of very large rafts that would hold maybe 12 to 14 people. For those folks who really were not into kayaking, maybe were older and couldn't maneuver a kayak, or they just wanted to sit back and relax and enjoy the whole situation. And even though my then wife would have been perfectly happy to ride in one of those large rafts, my male ego was not going to permit this. We were going to take a kayak out that day. And so they gave us helmets and they gave us life jackets. And there were professional guides who actually took to the river with us to help us along. And they gave us detailed instructions on what to do, what to avoid in the river. And one of the things that they told us is in the unlikely event that your kayak should capsize, what you want to do is immediately abandon the oars because they could be injurious. And they instructed us to sit in the water because we had life jackets, kind of like this, and allow our feet to go forward because the river was loaded with trees and all kinds of dangerous rocks. And they said, this is the safest way for you to prevent injury. So we set out, and we were having an absolute marvelous time until. Because at one point along our journey down this river, and I mean, we were paddling through those rapids like crazy and having a good time, but at one point, one of those large rafts that I was talking about became lodged kind of on the corner of the river. And the kayak that my wife and I were in, the current of the river, took us right into the kayak. And I didn't think this was a big deal. I figured we would just bounce off and go on our merry way. But as soon as we hit that thing, in a second, we capsized. And I didn't have to let go of the oar. That oar was on its own. And I was really disoriented for several seconds. And then after a while, I could see downstream, about 50 yards ahead of me, my wife had assumed that position that we were instructed, and she was going on down the river. Me, on the other hand, I've always been terrified of water. I'm not particularly a decent swimmer. And just this seemed counterintuitive to me, and I wasn't going to do that. And I spied a rock a big rock in the river. And I said, I'm going to that rock. And I started to swim toward that rock, which was a really, really big mistake. When I got within 10 yards of that thing, the river current took over and slammed me into the rock. And I really banged up my knees and my feet and my legs and everything else. And I bounced off this rock and was continuing downstream. And you would think that somebody would learn a lesson. But I saw another rock. And I headed for this rock. And this time, I again got banged up pretty badly and bruised. But I grabbed hold of that thing, and I held on for dear life. And that is where I stayed until some experienced kayaker came along and literally lifted me up by my life jacket and placed me in his kayak and took me to safety. And I share this story with you today. By the way, it's obvious, had I listened to the wisdom of those that had gone before me, the whole experience would have been a lot less harrowing. But I share this story with you today because our topic is going with the flow. And in talking about this, we're going to get into some paradoxes, and it may be a bit confusing. But that's okay, because life and our purpose here on this earth often is very confusing. And it's something that could be very puzzling. But it is also something that can make life so incredibly intriguing and fun. So metaphorically, I invite you to picture the river in terms of your spiritual experience, your spiritual existence. It flows. It never stops moving. It's something that is in constant motion. And it has twists and turns. And it carries us along and introduces us to new and different things in life, and sometimes to very unexpected things. But the main point is, whether we realize it or not, we are always so deeply immersed in it. And a lot of people in Unity hold to the belief that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Or perhaps you may hold that there is no distinction, no separation between your human nature and your spiritual nature, and that your purpose here is to develop a consciousness where those two realities become one. Either way, we are all given tools and gifts for our journey. And on that day, before going on in that river, we were given helmets, we were given life jackets, a kayak, oars, and a set of principles that, if followed, would have guided us through the whole experience. And we also had those intangibles, things like judgment, wisdom, power, and faith. But that's the thing about our tools. We can choose to use them any way that we like. And in life, mistakes are a given. And instead of following the principles that were given to me on that day, I headed right for that rock. And how often do we fail to trust the principles and opt for a rocky experience in our lives? And even if we get all banged up getting there, we desperately tend to cling to it. Which means, of course, as we're clinging to that rocky experience, life just passes by, just like the currents in the river. We are here to navigate through the rocks and trees and rapids as we do our best to navigate our own spiritual river, each and every one of us. And in a perfect world, we are not intimidated by the rocks or the speed or the current or whatever, because if we're really understanding and in tune with our spiritual experience, we are exhilarated by it all. Because without these things, the kayaking experience wouldn't be fun. And without these things in life, life would really be rather ho-hum. But now let's complicate things a little bit. The picture I've been trying to draw the last couple of minutes is that life needs to be about going with the flow. More specifically, it means going with the spiritual flow as represented by the river. But here's where it gets a little bit paradoxical and a little bit crazy. And that's because sometimes, and maybe even more often than not, going with the flow really means and involves swimming upstream. And as I promised, it is contradictory, paradoxical, and confusing. So let's try to make a little bit of sense out of it. In Unity, we are all about prayer and meditation. When we go into prayer and meditation, what we are doing is surrendering to divine mind and allowing ourselves to go with that spiritual flow. We are aligning ourselves as best we can with spirit and allowing ourselves to be carried along by that spiritual current. But in doing so, that still small voice sometimes calls out to us and tells us that there is a need to swim upstream in the physical realm. Everybody in the scriptures, there are so many stories that exemplify this. This is the life of Abraham, Moses and the mission that he was given, King David, and of course our way shower Jesus. But what is it all supposed to mean? Well, at the risk of making this whole talk sound a little bit fishy, I want to talk a little bit about salmon. The salmon is one of a few very unique fish that has to swim upstream in order to spawn. And the journey of the salmon is one of the most intriguing, interesting phenomena, not just in marine biology, but in all of life. Because how is it that after years in the ocean, years in the sea, it somehow can manage to find its way back to the original stream where it was born and hatched? It truly is a journey of returning home. And the life of a salmon begins in a stream, and then shortly after birth, makes the journey out into the ocean, swims to the ocean, and it's uniquely gifted biologically. There's a change in her body which allows it to move from fresh water to salt water and eventually back again. So after spending 2 to 4 years in salt water, they are mature and ready for the final and most difficult journey of their lives. Mature and ready. This is what we are supposed to be prepping for in our daily lives, doing whatever it is that we need to do to grow up, in a sense, and come to that point where we can begin to make those difficult journeys in our own lives. Their journey requires them to travel upstream, reversing the swim that they had made so early in their lives. And it's so fascinating. In the course of the journey, they eat nothing. They use the energy that they stored up while they were in the ocean. And finally, those that survive, and they do not always survive, they reach the river where they were born and lay their eggs. And then they die because their life cycle is complete. And all of this takes place because a salmon has an inner compass that is calling them home. We all have that inner compass that is calling us home. It's our human capacity to trust an inner knowing that is counterintuitive to our minds and sometimes even to our hearts. And the journey to which we are being called is to return to our authentic selves, our authentic beings. We all know from experience it's a journey that could be scary, lonely, disorienting, and just fraught with all kinds of obstacles. And it's definitely paradoxical to listen to that still small voice or inner compass is going with the flow, because again, going with the flow is a call to swim upstream. It means going against and disagreeing with popularly held opinions and beliefs, returning to our authentic selves means having the courage to meet our deepest fears. The salmon and human journeys require dedication, perseverance, courage, and reliance on an internal GPS system and a deep hunger to do that which we were born to do at whatever cost, even death. And perhaps in a way, maybe even especially death. Our minds and the strategies of our minds are geared for us to survive. And certainly, it makes a lot of sense. It's a reality that we can appreciate and we could applaud and we could honor and respect because, after all, we all have that instinct deep within us to survive. But after time, all strategies become outdated, even those. And so there's a time when it just makes sense for us to question those strategies and see what kind of relevance that they hold for us today that maybe does not make as much sense as it did years ago or months ago or even as soon as last week. It takes courage to challenge and bring awareness to the truth and the relevancy of those beliefs in every situation. So when we decide to ask questions, challenge assumptions, and begin to poke holes in illusory ideas of who we believe that we were, we begin to swim back home to give birth to our true selves. Isn't this exactly what our wayshower did? Isn't this precisely what the ministry of Jesus was all about? To challenge long established rules and regulations and guidelines and ways of living and ultimately even to the point of survival? So wherever you are, wherever you find yourself at any given moment, I invite you to consider turning towards your immediate experience and to challenge the stories that arise so that you might find your own spiritual navigation system that is constantly calling, beckoning to you, hey, it's time to return home.